They said that when we get old, we are set in our ways. What do you think? We don't like unexpected things. We haven't outgrown our love of adventure, but we sure have outgrown our love of surprises. We like to wear sensible shoes when we get old. We like to be in control of things. We like to have a plan, right? I know that's true in my house. Every morning when Jim brings me my cup of coffee in bed, I have to make my confessions of how spoiled I am. He usually sits down and visits for a while, and 9 times out of 10 he'll say something like this. It's going to be a busy day today. After I finish my breakfast, I've got to, and then he lists everything that he's going to do during the day, like take out the trash and feed Sissy and get on the Peloton and go to the store and clean out the garage. All of them, I always get them done with this. Or if it's a work day for him, he has everything exactly planned where he's going to go. One stop right after the next. And when he's finished his day, there's this sheet of paper with this beautifully neat handwriting on it. He's made this wonderful list of everything that he has done so he can go back and double check. I'm sure being in the military for as long as he was has some effect on that. Because there, you always know what you're going to do every day. It's called the POD. Plan of the day. Jim said that they get on the loudspeaker thing and they say, attention, this is the plan. So Jim does not function well unless he has a plan. I wish I were more like that. I'm just going to hang out, everything's fine. But today, on the second Sunday of Easter, I want to remind you that even though sometimes we might not be able to understand it, God has a plan for his creation. It's not just random. God has a plan for you, for me, for us all, for it all. And that plan of the day has not changed. Not one iota since all creation began. Sounds boring, doesn't it? But I can promise you it is anything but. Just listen. Listen hard. You can hear those birds out there, right? Even if you can't hear them, you know they're out there. There's a lot of romance going on this time of the year, y'all. They're courting one another. They are building their nest. They're raising their young. I'm so excited because I've had a bluebird box up in my backyard for like 4 years, ever since we moved back here, and nobody has taken advantage of it. And this year there's a family in there, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be able to watch them. If you don't believe that God has a plan, just look around. Just look around you. The earth is greening, the flowers are blooming, the bees are buzzing, just like every year. New life is appearing. I want to invite you just to take a look. Take your bulletin and look at the picture on the front of your bulletin. This was made by one of the astronauts in 1968, a guy named Bill Anders. And it's been given the name Earthrise. How often do we get to see our planet rising like we see the sunrise or the moon? A poet named Archibald MacLeish wrote this about this particular photograph. He says, to see the earth as it truly is, small and blue and beautiful in that eternal silence where it floats, is to see ourselves as riders of the earth together, brothers and sisters on that bright loveliness in the eternal cold. I'm going to read that one more time. To see the earth as it truly is, small, blue, and beautiful in that eternal silence where it floats, is to see ourselves as riders of the earth together, brothers and sisters on that bright loveliness in the eternal. Brothers and sisters, We're all in this planned ride together, all of nature, all created and protected by our one loving God. God has a plan. And God's plan for His creation is very, very simple. It's nothing new. It is light, not darkness. God's plan is resurrection, not death. God's plan is good, not evil. God's plan is victory, not defeat. It has been since the beginning there in the Garden of Eden in Genesis. Yeah, it's true. We kind of got kicked out of that garden, if you remember the story. But the God who is the source of such a perfect creation has not abandoned it, y'all. He's not abandoned us. He has a plan to restore it, to redeem it, to save it, to love it. Because that's all God knows how to do. And I can promise you that God is doing that even now, and God will finish it one day. And that's all we really need to know, isn't it? That God's plan is light, and God's plan is goodness, and God's plan is love. And that God has a plan for us. That's all we need to guide you and me each morning as we make our plan of the day. This Sunday, when Easter is still so fresh on our minds, we just have to ask that question. What now? What do we do now that Jesus has died on the cross and Jesus has been buried in the tomb and Jesus has been resurrected and has defeated death? What now? What does it mean to us? How does it change our lives? How are we being called to live in the world in the light of resurrection? Because it makes a difference. It makes a difference. So the writer of 1 John that Martha read to us so beautifully tells us that that answer has been here all along from the very beginning. If we want to walk with God, we simply walk in the light. We'll find Him there. And he goes on to say that if we have fellowship with God, but walk in darkness, we lie. We can't do both. That means if we talk the talk, we gotta walk the walk. Right? Y'all remember that song, Spirit in the Sky? It was, Norman Greenlaw was the guy who wrote it. I never knew that. I always thought it was a man or something. Never been a sinner, never sinned, but I have a friend in Jesus. So God's going to set me up with His Spirit in the sky. What we say, for example, I'm a Christian. I go to Whitesburg United Methodist Church. I got a friend in Jesus. Should correspond to how we live and what we do. The only trouble is, y'all, and me, it doesn't correspond, does it? The trouble is, we say we love the light, but we walk in the darkness all the time. The trouble is that we do sin all the time. We have come that far from Adam and Eve. Do you remember what they did when they sinned, when they disobeyed God? They hid under what was probably a very beautiful piece of shrubbery of God and just invented it. But they hid there so God couldn't find them because they were ashamed. We hadn't come that far from them. We tell ourselves that we live in the light. We tell ourselves that we don't sin. But we know better. We know it's not true. We know that kind of talk only plunges us deeper into the darkness. So the question is today, what do we do? I mean, how do we get this right? I don't remember who it was, but there was some character on TV that always said, this is a conundrum. Well, here's what John says. And he says it to this church that even though it's just the end of the first century, that Jesus has not been gone that long, still that church has some members in it who believe that Jesus was never a human being, that he was only a spiritual being, that God sent spirit to the world, not a human, that Jesus never walked on a dirt road, that he never healed a leper, that he never even experienced the pain of the cross. And so John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I will add day after day after day. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So this message that Jesus Christ has saved us, that we are forgiven because of the act that Jesus did for us, this message from this first century church is from the very mouths of the people who truly experienced that, some who even were able to see him and hear him and touch him in his human life. And they know that Jesus walked on this earth. They know that Jesus was the only one who was human, but also the only Son of God. And even though he was light, he brushed up against darkness every minute of every day. So what do we do? How do we live? We're not Jesus. We're not perfect. We're still a work in progress. So here's the way that I'll explain it. We're sinners, every one of us, right? We agree with that. We're all sinners. We have to recognize that. But we can't live there. I mean, you know, we can't grovel in it and say, oh, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Now, we may not be able to plunge our sinful nature into the light all at once. If people tell you, I was saved at such a time on such a date, and all of a sudden I am perfect, they are wrong. Well, I can't say they're wrong. Perhaps we need to think a little bit more deeply about that. So we can't move into the light all of a sudden. That's just not in our human nature. We don't just get good all of a sudden. But we can lean toward the light, right? Every day, every hour, every minute of our lives, every situation, we can consciously lean toward the light. We can get a little toe in the water every day. We can let our friend Jesus be in control rather than our trying to be in control of everything. I mean, we can say, I'm sorry, right? How hard is it to say, I'm sorry? We can forgive. And that may be a little bit harder, but we can do it. We can forgive people who hurt us. We can forgive people who have treated us in ways that it's not right. We can be kind instead of mean. Everybody can do that. You can be kind. You can be a nice person. We can remember that all are precious in God's sight. We can admit that we don't know all the answers. That we're a pilgrim on this earth searching, seeking the truth of God and the love of God in our lives. We can come to this communion table when we come in a minute. We can come as one family. I love that. Different and yet deeply in love with God and deeply in love with one another. We won't get it right every time. We are sinners after all. But every time we lean in, every time we try, we get a little closer. Every time we listen and we lean in toward the light, like a flower in the garden, you know, they'll turn to face the sunshine, they'll follow the sun. We can catch glimpses of the love of Christ that we've never known before. We were talking in Sunday school this morning. The way that we know that we are truly connected to Christ is when we change, when we grow, when we learn, when we are not the same person that we were a year ago, when we are more kind and loving. We can know that God will have the last word in this dark world. Read the book of Revelation. You'll see. You'll see. The garden is restored. Life is brought back. Revelation is a beautiful book of hope. And God's final judgment is resurrection. God will turn all that we mess up and all that we destroy and all that we hurt and all that we punish and all that stuff that we do. God will turn it into life and beauty. All we have to do is to lean in toward the light.